Hi, welcome to On the Daily, a podcast about finding the acoustic you. I'm your host, Danielle McCleary. I am a serial optimist and a champion of people who has long been on a search to truly see people and help you peel back all of your layers and become the most acoustic, authentic, and best version of yourself. I'm so glad you're here. Let's dive in. Do you know what really fires me up in like the best way ever? It is female business owners. I mean, really just entrepreneurs in general, but I'm going to say female because this episode is with the owner, the creator of Wear Talia. Her name is Talia, and it is the most incredible episode ever, and you're going to love it. What's up on the Daily family? This is Danielle, your host. This episode today is bringing me all of the badass entrepreneur vibes. I first discovered this girl, this company, through friends on Instagram. We're posting in the most amazing, like, cozy sets you've ever seen in your whole life. And I decided that 2020 was going to be the year that I also owned every cozy set that existed. And most of them I purchased from this brand, Wear Talia. And I started following her, and I noticed she is just so present, and she's so authentic, and she talks to the camera on her business account, and you don't order through a Shopify online account. You literally text your orders in. You're speaking with real humans, and it just stuck with me this whole time. I'm like, this girl is doing business right because she is connecting with her people. She is making people feel seen, valued, heard, and that is what people want. And so I'm so pumped for you to hear this episode with Talia. Let's freaking do this. Before we get into the episode, though, I do want to tell you about my absolute most favorite thing in my world right now, and that is my almond cow. If you don't have an almond cow, I don't know what you're doing with your life. It's basically like a homemade nut milk maker, but it doesn't just make nut milk, y'all. It can make cocktails. It can make lattes. It can make, like, makes a pulp that you can use for desserts. I mean, this thing is the one trick pony. I mean, or it's not a one trick pony. What am I even saying? It's not a one trick pony. It does literally everything. I use it to make hazelnut milk. It doesn't have any, like, obviously it's just hazelnuts. So I know what's in my nut milk. I save money. You push a button, it grinds everything up. And then within seconds you have nut milk. I have a discount code. So if making your own nut milk is something you're into, or making cocktails is something you're into, you need one. Go to their website, use Danielle15 at checkout. You're going to get a discount. It's going to be awesome. And then you're going to, like, post it on your Instagram, and I'm going to be like, aha, told you. It's amazing. So go buy one and use my discount code. Let's do this. Here's our episode with Talia. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the show. I'm so pumped about this guest. I pretty much buy every cute set she puts out in the whole world, but this is Talia, everybody. She is the owner and founder of Wear Talia, which is a awesome little clothing boutique in Newport Beach. I'm going to let you tell your whole story, but I am so excited you're here. Hi.
Hi, we need like 17,000 episodes to tell this flipping story.
Well, listen, I am like so pumped to dive into your story, and I'm just so freaking excited that you're here. I start every episode with like a clearing. So it's pretty much anything you need to clear before we jump right in. If there's anything that you need to clear, go ahead and get it out.
Trust me, I know the entire process of this podcast because I've listened to every single episode. I'm so into the clearing.
Amazing.
Okay, I have a big one to clear. We are moving the store to another space. And so my head is full of about 76,000 items that need to happen between now and like next week. So it's exciting because it's like a spring cleaning of the store, but moving just is never good. But it's going to be good. I don't know. It's just, I split time between Austin, California and Newport. So I'm like, I need a notebook or something to keep everything straight. I don't know. That's my clearing.
Yeah, like a notebook or like an assistant or like four assistants or, you know, a robot.
Yeah. Yeah. Like I have all these beautiful girls that work at my store, and they probably all are like, okay, we do not need to take a dive inside your head. They help me so much, but there's also just so many things, as you know, that as a business owner, it's like only you can do them. And that's a long list.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I would like to clear that it is kind of rainy in California today. And my son, he's so funny. He like doesn't like to go to school when it rains because he has this weird phobia of wood chips on the playground getting into his rain boots.
Oh my gosh.
And I like promised him, I was like, no, 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 it's not going to rain anymore. It rained last night. It's going to be sunny. It's going to be sunny. And now I'm seeing clouds roll back in. I'm like, oh my gosh, he's going to think I'm a liar now.
Oh, he is. No, he's so me. That's the kind of like weird stuff that I would worry about when I was a kid. Like, are my socks folded 6 times properly? It's like silly. It'll serve him.
Yeah. When it starts to rain, though, he's going to be like, mama. And I'm going to be like, sorry. So that's when I'm watching the clouds roll in outside of my office. And I'm like, shit. Okay. So I like the biggest reason that I invited you here today, A, you're like a badass human. B, I found you through friends, like through word of mouth. And
I wondered how you found us, which is my favorite way thing to ask people.
Yeah. I found you through Laura Wilcox.
Okay. Love her. Well, I call her Laura Wilcox. We call her Laura at the store because that's her Insta handle. So she's just right. Laura.
Yeah.
Who knows if she likes being called that or not, but.
I mean, I'm sure she does. I adore that girl. And I found you through her because she started like posting about these really awesome sets. And obviously like 2020 was the year of like cozy sets. And so yeah. I think I bought every single one. And then I like really just started to watch like all of your Instagram stories, but it wasn't even just to see like what you were putting out. It was more because I just kept thinking this chick has figured out how to do business authentically and how to keep business human. And the way that you guys do online ordering, like I have no idea why you have that method, but it is so amazing because you get to connect with humans. You get to have like a personal relationship. I feel like the girls in the store know me. They probably don't,
they do.
But like, I feel like
they do.
Oh, okay. Okay. Well, I felt besties. Like they, oh, okay. Well, I felt like they've known me and it's just, you just have this awesome, I just knew that I had to get you on here for you to tell your story because I think it's rare. A, I love women in business. B, I love when businesses can still be human. And you're just, I think, exemplifying that so much for everyone. And so I would love to start off. Just tell us about the store. Tell us how the idea came. Like, what's a little background of you that you would like people to know?
Well, first of all, what you said is exactly, it makes me so happy because how you just said, oh, I feel like the girls know me and they're my friends. Like, yes, that is the exact goal and we have achieved it. So this is my 10th year in August, I think. August or October, I guess I should know that. I'll be 10 years in business. I started when I was just out of college. I sold wholesale. So I designed things. I had literally no idea what or how to design, but I figured it out. It's like this ultra short version because like I said, we need 17 episodes to do the real version, but started in wholesale and it was a brand that was carried in other stores and it was just like a mom and pop shop here and a little boutique there and then it ended up doing okay. And we had a little run at Neiman's and then we had another run at Neiman's and it was still like a brand that literally no one but my mom knew about, like my parents and like my family, but we were carried in these bigger stores and it was really fun. And then 2015 was like the 2008 of the real estate thing for wholesale clothing. 2015 was like our 2008. It was just this first bubble. Everything went to hell. And so I had outside sales showrooms that sold my clothes to buyers and 4 out of the 5. So there's like Miami and Dallas and New York, all that sounds so fancy. It wasn't. 4 out of those 5 closed. And I'm like, meanwhile, my personal life was literally in shambles. Of course, it all happens at once. Like, why wouldn't it?
Always.
That's the story.
Yeah, every time.
Everything. When it rains, it pours is like Talia. When it rains, it pours O'Neal. So that is, it's so me. So I actually started the store from a place of like desperation and cash flow where we had just had a really big production order for Neiman's. It was like our biggest one we ever did. So when you have a big production order, you do a 10% overage just in case there's like issues with the clothes, whatever. So I had basically 10% of this production order sitting in a warehouse and no one to sell it to. So, I mean, I moved back home. It was like this big slip and disaster. And I'm like walking in the local mall that I grew up in, that I had my first job in, all of my jobs in before I was my own boss. And I'm like, that store is open. I'm going to go to the leasing office and I'm going to open a little store with all of this crap that I have. And we'll just cash flow for a little while until we make our next move. And now 5 years later, I still have the store. And it's a lot bigger and a lot different than it was, but it's been a long road.
I think it's so amazing that like you say that it grew out of desperation, because isn't that just so life? I just realized everybody can't see us, but I'm actually wearing your sweatshirt right now. Didn't even realize
it.
Put it on.
So nice.
There it is. No, but I think so many things in our life are grown out of what we call desperation. But then when we look back, we kind of go, well, actually, it was kind of the perfect, because like Absolutely. Hearing it now, it sounds like it was the perfect time to make that move.
It was. And, you know, my parents have always been really good at teaching my brothers and I that it's like, it's always going to get better. You know, it's just work really hard. Like they instilled such a crazy work ethic in us. My parents are both in TV and, you know, they would do these fancy shoots and all the kids of like the talent were like, you know, sitting in the front row and whatever. And like my brothers and I were like gearheads. We're like pulling cable, setting up the set. We were just from day one, we just worked really hard. And like work has just never been above us, no matter how much we had or didn't have. We just worked. We worked from the time we were all 15. Like we got special work permits and we just workers. So, you know, my parents always said, like, it's biblical, like, never be ashamed of the work of your hands. If you're working hard, that's all that matters, you know, no matter how much money you're making or not. And for the first 9 years of the 10-year journey, I did not make a dime. I made less than a dime. Like my dad gave me an allowance when I was, you know, I remember I was like 27. I turned 27. I'm like, I still have an allowance because I still haven't gotten this freaking thing off the ground. But it was the perfect time. When I opened the store, I needed like a 24-hour-a-day distraction from what was going on in my personal life. And I just needed to be like consumed. And it was the full unadulterated consumption. And yeah. I mean, it worked for the first 3 years of the store, I think, like maybe 2.5, like I didn't have any employees. It was just me. And that's, you know, just obviously part of being a business owner. But then when you grow, and now it's a tangent, but when you grow, then you can tell your employees like, hey, listen, I know you don't like this, but I did this. I did this and this and this. Like, I've never asked you to do anything that I haven't done. So fuck up.
Yeah. It's so true. It's such a good lesson for everybody. Is like, if you are feeling like there's always that, I don't know, there's always a visual that goes around the internet where it's like somebody like hitting a mine thing and it shows like they give up right before they get to the diamonds.
Yes. Yeah.
Did you ever feel like that? Like, oh my gosh, like, did you ever feel like quitting and doing something else?
To this day, like last week, I'm like, Patrick, my husband, I'm like, I'm done, right? Like, we're not. I live and my parents laugh at me, and I'm so close to my parents, and I'll reference them 1,000 times because they're my best friends. They're my pillars. There's no one in my life like them or will ever be. Can't live without them. They're like, you live in this, it's like sink or swim. I live in this atmosphere of like, fill the warehouse or light a match and just like, just blow it all up. I'm like, Dad, you know what? I'm going to light a match today. He's like, okay, here we go again. Because it really has been this like roller coaster. And I know that's so cliche to say, but it is like mountains and valleys. And it's every day, you know, tomorrow, like something might just flip and go really bad in our world, right? So for us, you know, we carry the stress of our customers. So if we have a style, and this happened in 2020, we have a style that we pre-sell, and it's like not a big deal in the grand scheme of the world. But for us, we're like drowning in the fact that it didn't come, and the customers are so upset, and everyone's like, oh my God, I'm not going to have my leggings, and it's so dumb. And then we step back and think, okay, this is like perspective. But I want to quit a lot, and I'm so happy that I haven't, but I have over the last 10 years thought about lighting that match about 3,500 times or more.
It's so funny to hear you talk about this, because my sister actually is a designer and she is the founder of Nightcap Clothing.
Stop.
Yeah. My sister's Carissa. Yeah. She's my stepsister.
Oh,
yeah. Wow. So she, I've heard like, I mean, you guys' stories are actually pretty similar, just like the ups and downs and like never really, I mean, she got out of college and was like, I'm just going to start drawing and like hope that something happens. And then like, here she is all these years later. And now she actually like, she got rid of her store in Venice and now she like opened up a store up in Los Olivos and because she lives up there. And it's like so cute, but it's so fun to hear your story because I think what a lot of people don't realize about A, the fashion industry, and B, just like being a business owner is oftentimes when you open a store, it wasn't ever because you fully intended to like have a store. Like that.
Never.
What I'm hearing is like you had to learn how to run a business. You had a passion and then you had to like learn how to run like a full business.
Oh, yeah. Yes, on every level. So I don't know if you want me to tell you how that pertains to me, but yeah, so please. When I started this, I was in college. It was my last class, my last semester, my last professor, blah, blah, blah of college. And it was an entrepreneurship course. And we had to do a business plan and it was for a something green. And so I came, it was a group project, but like every group project from the history of preschool, I don't let anyone do anything else. And I'm like, you show up on the presentation day, I'll give you your index card and then we'll do this.
Or they give you an idea and you go, great. Okay. I'm going to put that on the table. Okay. Yeah. And then you do it yourself.
You're like, okay, great. Wonderful. So
it's me.
And the people that are in our school groups are so happy because they literally do nothing, show up on the day of and everyone gets an A. So it was like an electric. And honestly, I do feel that somebody will do this one day and make zillions of dollars. But I did not pursue this. But it was a hybrid truck that had this roll of like solar panels that went over the top of the thing. And it was this whole thing. It was a really good idea, in my personal opinion.
Elon Musk will probably do it.
Yeah. He's like, oh, I'm doing a roll of photovoltaic, you know, solar panels over a truck. And I'm literally just going to be banging my head against a wall. So we had to present this project. One of the judges was the chairman of my university. When we were done, he came up to my parents and he's like, I'm going to finance any business your daughter wants to do. And I'm like, but first of all, I don't know what I want to do. I'm like a senior in college. I'm graduating next week. I literally have no idea what I want to do, but I knew that I didn't want to work for anyone else. And I don't remember saying those words, but my parents, that's like the first thing they say when they tell the story. They're like, she said she's never working for anyone. So I didn't call him. I didn't call him for like 6 months. So I'm like, listen, I've been in school since pre-K, 14 years, whatever this is. I'm like, I need a break. So I didn't call him. I didn't call him. So I ended up calling him like 6 months later. And I was working at Nordstrom. Actually, I got laid off from Nordstrom because I couldn't sell. My sales were down. Like I couldn't do anything. And so they literally fired me. And I was, so my mom's Peruvian, my dad's Texan, and Peru has really great factories of Pima cotton, which is a special Pima cotton, and that'll all come full circle. It's a special, super smooth cotton. It's only grown in two places in the world. Peru is one of them. So I've always shopped out of the back door of factories because that's just what you do. When you live in Lima, you know where they are and they have their overages and you just buy them, like really high-end lines, everything. So I was bringing home backdoor factory samples and having like t-shirt parties at my house and selling them out of the back door, out of like the trunk of my car. And so I called this man and he's like, excuse me, who are you? I don't know who you are. I'm like, remember that girl you said that you'd finance my thing? He's like, that was 6 months ago. I'm like, yeah, it's me. So he had connections in LA. I had connections in Peru. I literally pulled out a notebook, flew to Lima and like came up with a couple things and we started selling them. Point is, I had no idea what I was doing. And when I came up with these samples, I'm like, okay, Google, where do I take these samples? And it's like, oh, wholesale. Okay, where's the wholesale mart? Okay, so then I'm walking the wholesale mart in downtown LA for like a month. No one will even like let me in the door. You know, they're like, excuse me, like you're getting mud on our carpet. Like, please take your silly samples and leave. And I kept going back every week, just knocking on literally all the doors and all the floors of the mart in LA. And I told my, so I was obviously living at home like I did forever, and told my parents, okay, today's the last day. I know where the dumpster is. If I don't get a showroom today to sell my clothes, I'm going to put this bag I've been carrying around for I don't even know how long into the dumpster. And then I'm coming home and I'm going to get a real job. And they're like, okay, knowing that I'm never going to get a real job. So all day long, I was there on the elevator on my way down to the dumpster. At the end of the day, I meet a girl in the elevator. She's like, hey, what's in the bag? And I'm like a very antisocial person. Surprisingly, I'm like a extrovert on call. Like when I need to be, I am, but I don't talk to people on elevators. I'm rude. And so she's talking. I'm like, oh, it's just some samples, you know, like, and she's like, can I see them? So I'm like, okay, sure. You want to come up to my showroom? I'm like, okay. That ended up being my first showroom. The next week was LA Market, and we opened like 20 stores in that first week, which was for me like, whew, I was dying. But I didn't know where people were like, where's your lookbook? I'm like, look, what's a lookbook? Well, like a picture. I'm like, oh, yeah, okay. Yeah, it's at the printer. Meanwhile, I haven't had a photo shoot. I'm like, Dad, we need to take pictures of this clothes right now. We need to send it to the printer right now. And I did everything like that until I could. To this day, I do things like that. I don't know what I'm doing. Mm-hmm. I really don't. I don't.
Yeah. I like to relate to this so much because I'm the exact same way. Anything I've ever done, and I'm also very close with my parents. My father actually just passed away in January, but like he was my best friend in the whole world. And like he always said to me, Danielle just kind of does what Danielle's going to do. And she's always going to land on her feet. She'll always figure it out. And it's just, there's a saying, and it's, I would rather be passion on fire, not ignorance on ice.
Yes. Wow. I've never heard like, that.
Or even knowledge on ice. You know, I think that I relate to that saying even more. I'd rather be passion on fire than knowledge on ice, because I want to talk about this because I think so many people, they get stuck. They have this idea. They have this passion. Obviously, your passion was fashion. Your passion was clothes. Your passion was, you know, Pima cotton from Peru and like all of these really beautiful things. And there were so many things. Like you knew, it sounds like you had an idea of where you wanted it to go, but all of the steps to get there, who the fuck knows? And that I think is where so many people will get stuck. If they have this idea to start a business, they will say, okay, I know what I want to do, but I have no idea how to get there. And then they just stop because they think they have to know everything before they do anything. And I want to like, what advice, like give some advice to people, because that's just, I cannot tell you how good it is to hear that somebody else is just like me in this, because I've always just been, I don't know what, how I'm going to get there. I just know that I'm going and I'm going to figure it out along the way. You know,
I'm like, I don't know how to get there, but I'm sure my dad can build something. My mom's going to talk me out of, you know, the lighting of the match and we're going to figure it out. I think, and I feel like every year my business kind of changes a little bit with obviously however it needs to change. So when, you know, finances are not what I want them to be, like, I have to make a change and we need to open up something new or whatever. I think not knowing what I was getting myself into was really helpful, because going back to what you said earlier, you're like, you know, it sounds like you had a passion for fashion. No, I didn't know if I was going to sell widgets, Christmas trees. I just knew I needed to sell something and figure something out. And I just happened to have the connection in Peru. So also like just working with what you have, like, why would I ignore this opportunity that is kind of like at my feet? Not everyone can just go to Lima and like knock on the back door of a factory that like your mom's sister's cousin's mailman owns. And then, you know what I mean? So I knew I needed to capitalize on that. I think not knowing what I was doing was really helpful, because I also was so in my own lane. I'm like survival. I don't know what everyone else is doing. And also I had the luxury of starting this when Instagram, all this stuff like really didn't exist. So I couldn't see what anyone else was doing. I just could see what like big brands were doing. I'm like, oh, I can't afford that booth at the trade show, so I'm just going to get the smaller one. I didn't have like this constant barrage of coolness, which brings me to my next point. Like, you don't need to be cool. I don't need to sell clothes to the coolest girls. I just need to sell clothes to human beings who want to wear them, whether you're 15, 27, 87, like, money is green. And it was really important to me, because as I started seeing, you know, my in-store customers, because in the beginning I worked with buyers, and buyers are usually older because they're like, you know, older women who have gone through whatever and now they have a store. And that was my core buyer. And that is my core customer to this day. It's usually an older woman, my mom's age, maybe, who has a daughter my age, and they can both shop at the store. So you end up getting the cool girls, but you want the regular people too. Like, I'm not the coolest girl in the world, so I can't expect to sell to the coolest people ever. And I like that. Like, I think that's a big part. It's like, you just don't have to be that cool. You don't have to be that savvy. You don't have to have that stuff or hire this like team of people. Like, what is a team of people? Why do you have them? Do the work. You know, when you physically need enough people to pack boxes, okay, hire those people. But until then, all the free labor, like, I'm like free labor human being. Like, I ask for help all day long. until I could pay people. I mean, my parents packed the boxes in my warehouse for years, years. Mm-hmm. And I would yell at them because the tape was always crooked.
You're like, thank you so much for your help. And it's not
however,
right.
Yeah. I'm like, however.
Oh my gosh. I love that. I feel like our parents would get along.
They 1,000% would.
So talk about being a business owner in like 2020, 2021. I mean, I just think I watch, obviously I'm a business owner. I watch my friends who are business owners and, you know, whether it's like a brick and mortar business or an online business, it's just, it's like there is a lot of pressure coming from all sides. And there's a lot of, well, if you're not doing it like this, and oh, why aren't you doing it like this? And, you know, the comparison game, the judgment game, the blame game, all of those things, the shame game, which I can't handle the shame game. I'm so over it. But talk about it a little bit because I think it stops a lot of people, you know?
Oh, 1,000%. I actually just this morning watched an IGTV that my mother-in-law posted, who I love so much. And it was about not just having self-confidence, but having God confidence and like knowing who you are and like who created you. And it doesn't matter if we're all standing in like naked, like all of this stuff, which goes against like, obviously I need people to buy stuff because that's my business, but all of this stuff does not matter. And it should not affect you if you walk into a room and you have on one handbag, let's say, and someone else has another one on, like, why is that affecting you or anyone? Like, it's so dumb. It's so stupid. Like, I was born into this family and you were born into that family. And some people were born on the other side of the hill and some people were born on this side, and we can't control that. And my mom is so good at this because she's Peruvian. So we were raised fully Peruvian. We identify fully Peruvian. We spent half our lives in Peru. We spoke Spanish first. And she's like, it's so real coming from a third world country because you only need to be born 1 kilometer that way to be in abject poverty, or 1 kilometer the other way and you're a totally normal person with all the things you need. So I wish I could just shake people, especially like young people. And like I said earlier, I grew up with the luxury of not having this social media monster like tapping on my forehead all day. Like, so I think for us, it's maybe easier to disconnect. Like, of course, I want those things to grow and I want people to like it and whatever, because now I'm responsible for people that I have to pay and that I worry about like a mom constantly. But, you know, if it was just like for me, just like the social aspect of like sharing for me and there wasn't a business connected to it, oh no. And I think about like if I ever have kids, no. They are living in like a cardboard box that I make for them with nothing. And you as a mom, like, what are you doing? What are you thinking about as far as like your son getting into all this stuff? Does it worry you? Like, what do you think?
Oh,
now
yeah.
I'm asking
oh,
the
my
question.
Gosh. No, I love this. No, I say this all the time. I mean, trust me, I love that my son is tech savvy. I'm not one of those moms. It's like, he will not have this and he will not have that. Like, he absolutely, like, he has a Nintendo Switch. He's 5. He has a Nintendo Switch. Like, sure, I'll let him kind of like browse around on my iPhone a little bit because I know that technology is the wave of the future and he's going to have to be savvy at it. He's just going to have to be. And so, and he's brilliant. And at the same time, we are very, very conscious of the information he's being fed, the news that he gets to see, like the TV that he gets to watch. I just, you know, because I did grow up like in that same era. I think you and I probably are similar. I'm 33. How old are you?
I'm 33.
Okay. Yeah. So we're in the same, Yeah. We kind of had the old wave, right? And then we got to see social media come to the rise. So we're kind of in that in-between generation. And I do think the pendulum's going to swing back. You know, I think that, you know, we'll get there. But yeah, I mean, being a parent, I'm sitting here going, do I want my kid to go to conventional kindergarten or do I want him to go to, like, do I want to homeschool him and travel the world for a year? I don't know. It's just, I don't know. I don't know the answer. And I think it's the same thing I always am. I say, we're just going to figure it out. We're just going to figure it out. And that's what we're going to do.
Yeah. Danielle's going to do Danielle. And that's what we're going to do. Yeah. I mean, just thinking about it is wild. But going back to your comparison thing, I could have, if I didn't really have that God confidence and like know who I am, what was like instilled in me, that all this outside fluff doesn't matter, it would have been so easy for me to fall into like the pit of comparison. Because think about it. So I'm 33. And this is what reminded me. All through my 20s, while my best friends were like getting their dream jobs and buying homes and getting married and like buying all the things that they wanted or whatever, I was like cool. Like, I'm sweating in my warehouse and I have no idea if this is going to work. I do not have 3 pennies to rub together. And I don't know how. I mean, thank God I just didn't fall into that. Of course, there are moments where I was like, what? But then also, more than, wow, she can buy a house and I can't, it was like, I'm so thrilled for her. I'm lighting a match. You know, it wasn't like a jealousy thing. It was like, I have to get out of this. This isn't working. I need to get a normal job. And it isn't a pat on the back, because jealousy is gross, but also not being confident in what you're doing. And I fell into that is gross. You know, like, I didn't like that when I had those moments of like, forget this. Like, I just need to be doing what normal people are doing. Like, normal 27-year-old people, normal 25-year-old people are working on their career. And I had this conversation with Patrick and he's like, because my husband is like the smartest, most hardworking. He's got the most incredible job. And I married way up out of my league. Okay. But he always, I married way up. Like, Patrick is, I am over my skis with him 1,000%. And he always says, he's like, I wish I could trade places with you. And I just laugh because he is who like everyone would ever want to be, or that career, or like that place where he is. And I'm so proud and I'm so like healthily envious of him. I'm like, I can't believe you've achieved all this. And he's like, here's the difference. It's a hockey stick. So like, he went the way of all, you know, all the normal people where he's like, okay, I went to college and I got a good job. And then I did my hockey stick. He's like, my hockey stick, like, it goes like this. You have, you know, this path up, but then there comes a time when you work a normal job where you reach a ceiling, like an earnings ceiling. But you don't have that. You can just go to like the outer space forever and ever and ever. And I'm like, I appreciate the comment. We'll see if that happens. But, you know, then I sit back and think about it and I'm getting, you're right. Like, as an entrepreneur, the only limits you set are on yourself, like exposure, obviously, which is something we all need to just like be seen by so many people. But it's setting your own limits.
Yeah.
It's a big deal.
Yeah. I remember being like 25 because I got married when I was 20. Long story. Wow. I mean, if anybody's heard the podcast has kind of heard this story. I got married when I was 20. I moved to England. I lived in England for 4 years. I moved back. I finished up school at UC San Diego. I went to grad school. I thought I was going to work in television. I went to school for theater. I went to school for dance. I danced professionally. And then I got divorced at 27. And so when all my friends were like buying a house and they were having families and they were figuring their shit out, I was trying to redirect my career. I was going through a divorce. Like, I remember being like 26 and being like, wow, okay, so maybe I'll figure it out. Yeah. You know, all those, I heard my dad in the back being like, Janelle, we'll always figure it out. I'm like, I hope so. Yeah. I really hope so.
Yeah.
So I love that. Like, yeah, you can't compare yourself. You can't. I mean, I think back to my journey and I'm sure you do this all the time. Like, I think back to my journey and I go, but if I wouldn't have had the journey that I had for me, I wouldn't be where I am today, because in order for me to be where I'm at in this moment, I had to do everything I did and go through it the way that I went through it.
Yes. So it's so funny because I feel like we've just known each other for 1,000 years. And I'm sure people tell you that all the time because you just have this thing. But so you said we're so similar, and I've never talked. The only people that really know this story, and now everyone will know it, but are the people that are so, so close to me. But I think it's really important. And I've never talked about it on Instagram or anything. So here I am. But
here we are talking about it globally.
Yeah, let's just put it out. Here's the moment. So we're both 33. I also got married really young and I got divorced when I was 27. So I got married at 26, divorced at 27, or married at 25, divorced at 26. I don't even know what it is. But yeah, I started my store. I moved home from Tennessee. I lived on a 50-acre farm. That's a whole other episode, and practically alone, and started my store because I needed 24-hour distraction from what I was living and like the torment that was happening to me. And so, I mean, it probably has nothing to do with your question, but Patrick was my first date after 3 years of working on this store. He walked into the store. He begged me to go out with him. It was a shameful moment for me. I made him beg for like a month. I was like, never getting married again. I was never dating anyone again. My brother's like, I'm going to buy you your first cat because it's time for you to just be a cat lady and we just need to move on. And he was my first date. Obviously, I married him. But all of these puzzle pieces, like, I look back and, you know, my favorite verse is like, you will look back and see his goodness, because when you're living it, you're like, God, are you here? Are you asleep? Are you taking a break? Are you on a lunch break? You are on a 10-year lunch break. I need you to come back. And then you look back, like I look back at my 33 years and all of these moments where I was drowning, and all I see is his goodness. Just all his goodness. Love that. Crazy. I can't believe our stories are so similar.
So similar. I mean, and it's so funny because I'm not religious. I've never been like a follower of Christ, but I'm like a child of the universe 100%. And I remember multiple times over the last decade saying the exact same thing. The universe is supposed to have my back. Where is it?
Yeah.
Why don't I feel the universe on my back? Because right now it feels like the universe has left me and I am in an alternate dimension and I don't understand why.
Yeah. Yeah. And I will say it takes a strong person or a strong, because I don't consider myself an extremely strong person, but I have a strong network, a strong family to like continuously pull me out of that muck. Like my parents, like my best friends, my brothers, whatever, are like, okay, we're going to pull it out of the quicksand again. Okay. One more time. And thank God, because easily any of those things, like a divorce on its own, like I know people that have just been crushed and never recovered from that.
Totally.
You know, yeah. I mean, I've met old ladies and, you know, older ladies in my store. And, you know, if they're telling me their story, I'm like, oh my God, this divorce must have happened last week. And she's like 35 years ago. And I'm like, oh, we're still suffering it like it was yesterday. So it takes a village to raise a child, to keep that child into adulthood. It takes a village to, like, humans just take villages. They really do.
Yeah. And it's an interesting point that you bring up, because I think when you're a person that will just do the group project, I mean, I don't know if you've ever done your Enneagram, but it sounds like you might be an 8 on the Enneagram.
I haven't, and I need to, because I keep seeing, you know, everyone talks about it and I just need to do it.
Yeah. So you need to do it, and then you need to tell me what you are. So I'm an 8, okay. And it's basically like the nonconformist. It's basically the person who will absolutely do the whole group project by themselves. And I think that there's a common misconception that if you are that way, that you can't ask for help. And I love what you said about you ask for help a lot, because I'm the same way. And I have so many friends that are so afraid to ask for help. And I'm like, no, you're humans. Humans are people that are meant to be with other humans. We are not meant to do things alone. And although you might have the personality that you can get shit done and you can do things, like you can grind and get shit done, that doesn't mean that you don't need people. That doesn't mean that you don't need humans to pull you out or lift you when you need it, you know?
And I had to learn. I mean, it's so easy for me to ask for help from my parents. They probably wish it was harder for me, but I had to learn to ask for help outside of. I mean, there's still moments where I'm like, should I ask, you know, employee A to do that? And I'm like, yes, yes, I should. I shouldn't go in myself and do it. Like, this is the whole point. But it's a hard transition from being a do-aller to a let-goer. And that is still to this day is tough for me. Like I said in the beginning, I'm like, there's some things that only I can do. I'm sure 80% of those things someone else can do, but I've convinced myself that I am. But what I do want to say, and this is important because people will listen to this and say, well, I don't have a family that's helpful or supportive and I don't have a village, so I can't do that. And I'm here to tell you that that's not true either. It would have taken me longer maybe, or I would have had to pay more. I don't know. But I think if you have that fire inside and that goal, it takes a village, but so many have done it without. And I think that's really important, because people will say like, oh, forget it then. Well, if I'm going to need like really supportive parents and I don't have those, then that's not true. That's not true.
Mm-hmm. No. And you can always go find a village if you don't have one. And
make one.
If you weren't born with one, like what's the saying, your vibe attracts your tribe. Like you're going to find your network. I mean, half the people that I have in my life today, I didn't grow up with. Sure. I have a very supportive family. I have a very supportive group of friends that I've had forever. And I have a lot of people in my life that have come into my life in the last 5 to 10 years that I consider family, you know, because of the vibe that I was putting out into the world. So I completely agree with you. I think if you're listening to this and you're, you know, you're doing the thing that we've all done, we've all been there, and it like takes one to know one, like where we've been like, well, I don't have this, so I can't do what that person did. That's that comparison game we were talking about. And like my advice to you is to really sit down and think about who your network really is and what your vibe is. And if you don't have the support that you need, go find it.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I have one of my best friends, Tammy. She's like a reach outer. She's like a connector. She stays. I'm like, Tammy, we went to sixth grade with that person. I don't even remember their last name. And she's like, oh, no, they just had a baby. And, you know, they're working on their whatever. And I'm like, how do you know? She's a keep upper. And I'm a Tammy. Always just, oh, I'm so envious of you.
Mm-hmm. I'm a Tammy. That I can tell you. Skill? I can tell you what Tammy's doing and what she did yesterday. And I could also tell you about her mom and her brother, Phil.
Oh, see, I wish I was that. And, right. And she's like, and the mailman's favorite cookies are, you know, chocolate chip, in case you ever want to give him some. I wish I was that person. And I think people like that, and I'm trying to be more like that. But that is such a like mayor of the tribe kind of person, because you are constantly keeping those connections. So it's not like you throw out all these lines and then hope they stick. You are like making sure that that line is well maintained. And I think that's so important. That's something we can all learn from, because I'm like, oh crap, have I talked to her this year?
But everyone has that person in their life. But I think this brings me to like my next question for you is you recognize in yourself, like, I feel like the Tammys, shout out Tammy. Tammy.
She's it. We all need.
Right. But all Tammys, they also know song lyrics to every song from every genre. So that's like, that's how you can spot a Tammy. We know song lyrics and we can recite like movie quotes too. Like it's nothing. And they just stay there in like a bank somewhere.
So
you're not that way, but you have surrounded yourself with an incredible group of people. And this kind of brings me to like that question about authenticity in business, right? So for those of you who have never shopped at her store or on, you know, through her Instagram, she's going to plug herself in a minute. So you're going to get to hear all the things and it'll be in the show notes as well. But when you go to order from her, so I don't live in Newport Beach. I've gone to the store a few times when I've been down there to teach SoulCycle, but mostly if you go onto her Instagram and you can text to shops, you text them and you tell them what you want and they write you back and you're actually talking to one of the girls in the store. And I've never shopped like that before. And at first, my first initial reaction, like full transparency, was like, oh man, this is going to go horribly wrong. But it didn't. And it was so brilliant. And the more that I shop with you, the more I feel like I'm part of the family. So I want you to talk about authenticity in business and just how to surround yourself and keep that connection to other humans, because I really do think that's what sets your brand apart.
Okay. So thank you. This all stems from the fact that I'm not cool. Okay. So I don't have like high tech stuff. I am a technology inheritor. Like my first new iPhone was like the one I have now. All through my 33 years, I just inherited somebody else's iPhone that they didn't want anymore. Somebody else's laptop. My brother didn't want this anymore. I got this. So like when it comes to, I don't know, it's not my thing. So when I opened the store, I remember the product that it was. So Instagram was like, I guess maybe not new, but I was new to it because I'm always a little behind the curve. This is why I don't have new technology and new items. And I got these sunglasses and to this day, we still sell them. They're like our signature $20 sunnies. I'm like, I should just story these and see if anyone wants to order them. And I did. And we got like 10 orders. I said, we don't have a website. So I thought, and I've always felt like online shopping is not for me. I am an in-person shopper because I like to touch things and try them on and just know, unless it's an item that I know that I just needed in another color that I've already touched in person, I'm not an online shopper because I just end up getting things that don't work for me. I can't ask any questions. I just add them to my cart, hope for the best. It's too much, like I'm too much of a control freak for that kind of shopping. So that was kind of, you know, the sunglasses thing. I'm like, okay, people can start texting. And the texting thing was really small. Like we would just say, okay, text us if you want this. And we would get 5 orders a day or maybe 10 orders on a good day or 1 order or whatever. And that slowly got a little bit better. Maybe we got up to 20 orders on like the best day. And that was all the way through March 15th, 2020. And once everything went wild, so we came, obviously the quarantine in the beginning was 2-week quarantine. So Patrick and I were spending, I was doing 2 weeks here, 2 weeks at home. Patrick was spending a little bit more time here in Texas. So I'm like, okay, well, we're due for our 2 weeks in Texas. Let's go spend our 2-week quarantine in Austin. Obviously we were here till like flipping, I don't even know what, June or whatever.
It's literally the one. So we're recording this in March. Today's like the 1 year of COVID.
Yes. Yeah. Like shutting down. Next week.
Yeah.
Yeah,
like next week is like 1 year.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, yeah. 1,000%. So I remember having this conversation. I'm like, they're talking about like maybe closing the borders in California. Should we just go to Texas and just do our 2 weeks, 14 days there? And Patrick's like, yeah, why not? Whatever. So we get here, I'll quickly realize like it's not going to be 2 weeks. And I have left the store. And now there's no flying back and forth, right? Texas has at that point was like closing or about to close their borders. If you came back and forth, you'd have to quarantine like intensely. They had like federal quarantines where like the guys would come knock on your door and check on you. I'm like, oh, ugh. So I'm like, I got to figure out how to do this remotely. So we started a really, really proud thing for me was that we never were closed one day of 2020. We just
pivoted.
We just, the physical store closed, but we did not skip one day of shipping and receiving orders. So we started with the girls at the store. I'm like, just try a few things on in the mirror. Let's see if anyone wants to see anything. And they're like, okay, yeah, whatever. It's not for everyone. Like Montana is like, I don't like trying on things in front of a mirror on Instagram. I'm like, you're right. Okay. All right. Well, ship me some stuff. So while the stuff's getting shipped to me, you know, we're still doing like the whatever we can do, try on in the mirror, get a couple orders here and there thing. And then I remember the outfit. It was like a blush mineral wash sweatshirt and pants. And I tried it on in the mirror in my bathroom. You probably bought it in March 2020 or a retail.
I bought every color.
It's so good. So I remember that set and the girls, I showed it. I'm like, okay, well, we can't shop for the next couple of weeks. We'll just do some virtual stuff. And the girls are like, the phone is full of text messages. Like, what do we do? I'm like, guys, this is just like our normal volume, except more. We're going to do one by one, blah, blah, blah. And so throughout quarantine, they kept shipping me boxes and I kept doing this thing. Well, we never got a website because I didn't think it was going to be so long. And I thought, oh, we're just going to go back to normal. No one's going to text us anymore because they're going to shop in store like they usually do. And like, who cares? And then I quickly realized that this was exactly what we were missing from shopping, talking. So the quarantine thing was like a micro environment, like a test kitchen for me. Cause I'm like, what do people want? They want to talk to someone outside of their own freaking house and have a normal feeling conversation. They want to buy things because they're bored and they realize that they don't have enough loungewear to survive this quarantine. And, you know, so it was, let's have a conversation with them. Let's make sure we have the correct clothes. And then just a captive audience, because we were all just on our phones, right? We wanted to see what was going on in that state and this state and also boredom and everything else. So it ended up just being this perfect storm. And I mean, one of my girls at the store is like campaigning so hard for a website. And I'm like, sit down, because this is what sets us apart. I got eyes on a report from a really big retailer. It was like an internal thing. And some really kind, amazing person gave me the deets. And it was, you know, everything this retailer is missing during these months of quarantine, like why online sales are down, like what people want, like what the surveys are saying. And it was like lack of human connection. Can't ask questions, need to know things about it. And so I'm like, oh my God, check. And this is on a tiny scale. Like we're a small store. So for us, you know, 100 orders or whatever, it's like, oh, big time. And to this day, it's big time. So we felt like we were checking all those boxes. I mean, it went from like printing out receipts into a pile to like, and like the girls are like, I have carpal tunnel. I can't continue and working, you know, and I'm like, okay, go home. It's midnight. You can go home kind of thing. And working those girls, oy, how they worked. 13, 15 hour days, because they're like, I'm thankful to have a job. So many people don't have one. And if you guys don't want to work, I'm working. And we had just like our road dogs. And to this day, like that quarantine as a store community, as a team, we are so closely knit. Like Montana and I, who had worked for me for like almost 2 years before that, like how we are connected now is because we went through it together, right? And they worked so hard. Like I've never met people that worked so hard as they did during those months. I'm telling you. So it's like 2 a.m. my time in Texas, and Montana's like, do we have an extra small legging? I'm like, it's midnight in California. And she's like, oh, we have automatic lights. You're going to laugh. We have automatic lights that, you know, shut off. And she's like working by the light of a flashlight. Because she's like, you know, it's on a timer and it's been 2 hours, but like, I just need to finish these last few orders. And it is wild. So people ask me like, is that scalable? You know, like texting people. I'm like, sure, I'll have an army of texters and I'll employ a lot more people Is it cost effective? Maybe not. Am I employing people that wouldn't otherwise be employed? Yeah. Is that more important? Yeah.
I love that. I think it's so important that you're staying. First of all, I agree. Don't ever change it. I mean, obviously, if you grow so big that you have to change it and you have to get a website, then like that'll just be the blessing.
But I don't see a moment where I couldn't just have like 1,000 computers and people texting the whole time. Of course, right. There's collections that I think would work on a website and I float those things and maybe there'll be a combo of both. But I like that authentic core. Like it came from a place of we're not high tech and it ended in a place of people really like this.
I mean, I told my fiance Breezy so much. I was like, I will support this little business that is like growing. I like watched you guys grow. I mean, I'm like a huge, especially when it comes to like stores and stuff, just because of my sister, I get really into just watching things grow like that. And watching you guys grow like you did in 2020 was so special. And I was like, also really, I was like, I don't even know these people, but I'm so proud of them for staying. I'm invested and I'm so proud of them for staying true to like who they are at their core. And sure, so maybe there's like a hybrid version of this someday in the future. But I mean, I think the like the message here is you got to stay true to like what you know is working and what you know people want, even if it is not the norm, even if it is not the industry standard.
Or the most efficient. Like, I'm not telling you to yeah, you have to, you know, I'm not telling you to spend more money than you need to or whatever and be like a good business person that like, you know, puts finance first, but also like people. You have to put people first.
No, I mean, because like I work in network marketing and I think that there's just so many people that'll just like send out group texts to everybody. And I've always been a voice memo person. Like I send voice memo. Like that's what I do. Like I will take the extra time to send a voice memo to every single client I have. And sure, does that take more time? Yes. Does it value my time? I don't know. I mean, I think so because I get to have the reason I'm in marketing in the first place is because I love people and because I want to help people feel, look, you know, do their best. So I think that if you're listening to this and you're like, well, what if that isn't, is that cost effective? Is that time effective? You just have to decide for you. Is what you're doing adding value to other people's lives in a way that makes you feel proud? And if the answer is yes, then you have to keep doing it.
Yes, yes, yes. So I follow this girl. Her name's Hey Maddie Nelson. I think she's the bomb. She was talking to the bomb. I love her. So what maybe people feel like when they shop at my store, that's how I feel when I watch her. I'm like, I know you, I love you, you're the bomb. But she said today, she's like, you know, I was never really worried about growth. If, like, mind you, the entire freaking universe follows her, but I was never worried about growth because I was so much more worried and invested about the people who are here with me now. Yes. So for me, I'm like, today I was like, oh my gosh, I'm sitting down right now because, you know, this week and now it's in the past when you guys are listening to this episode, but this week was like the Instagram algorithm week from hell. Like everyone's upset and complaining and I had a tear shed about it because for me, it's not like, oh, people can't see me. It's like, oh, we're not going to sell clothes. So I can't pay my girls. So they can't make their house payment and they can't go to Trader Joe's. Like that's where my head goes. And then I had this moment, like, I just need to be worried about the people who are watching. Like 1/3 of you are still here seeing us. And that's the important thing. It makes me tear up because I'm like, those are my road dogs. Like those are my people. And the people that can't see us right now, like they might see us next week, but I have to be worried about and give information and things that people want to see. Like, you know, the stupid escape of watching me try clothes on. I need to give it to the people that are here with me. So
yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. Because if you don't. Well, and I love her too. And I will say the Instagram algorithm week from hell, that was so real. And halfway through the week, I went, oh my gosh, what? Like, cause my reels weren't getting viewed. Like it was just stupid stuff that like to most people doesn't matter. To a person who literally runs their business online matters a freaking lot. And so, but then halfway through the week, I also, did you notice you were seeing people's stuff that you haven't seen in so long? And I just said, oh my gosh, I get to connect with new people now. This is awesome. Yes. Like this, I get to like, this is actually could be a gift.
Yes. So I was, so I was talking to my other best friend, Katie, who's the encourager. So Tammy's like my connector and Katie's my encourager. And so she's always like, I will cut someone. Like I'm going to call Instagram right now. Like she's anytime anyone's like mean to me or she even gets like a whiff of someone being mean to me. She's like, so she texts me and she's like, you know, what's going on here? And I said, Okay, I'm going to flip this around. Everyone is negatively affected. I'm going to say everyone, but there are people who are positively affected because they are being seen and they haven't been seen in years. So maybe it is a good thing. I don't, someone else is growing. Maybe I'm not growing and doing well this week, but somebody else is. And I have to be so in favor of that because there's room for everyone. So yeah. Once I like, that was literally yesterday. So I haven't had this mindset for an extremely long amount of time, but for me, I'm like, okay, you know what? It's their turn. And that's okay.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So. Yeah. I think it's a, such a good like point to finish that on is there is room for everyone and stay true to you no matter what. I just really, really respect what you do. And I really respect who you are. And I respect your brand so much. When I tell you every set she has come out with in the last year, I own. Yeah. I'm not kidding. Have I bought sets and slippers for most of my friends by this point? Yes, I have. Can people get sets other places? Sure, you can. But are you going to get the same experience? Probably not. Are you going to get the same, like, are you going to get a free little hair tie in your box when it arrives? Probably not. Are you going to get a thank you note from somebody once you like order and they text you and tell you thank you? No. And if all of that stuff matters, like which it does to so many people, like just look out for, you know, look out for the brands that are really doing that and really care. Because yes, sales are important. Yes, making money is important when you're trying to grow a brand. But companies and brands that are really, really focused on the human and keeping an authentic relationship with their customer base is so, so, so special. And I just really think you're awesome for that.
You're kind. I'm obviously, it goes without saying that I'm so thankful for all of our customers because you guys are so flipping loyal. And like you said, like, yes, you can find this elsewhere. It might be cheaper somewhere else. I don't know. But it's that thing where like, you know, when you buy from a small business, someone does a happy dance. I'm like, when you buy from a small business, you know, employee A can like make their car payment and employee B can like put a little bit away and employee C is like okay on diapers. Like it's such a big deal. It really is.
Okay. So we end, I'm going to let you plug yourself after we play our game.
Okay.
So we end the game with quick fire. We end the show.
Yes, we do.
When's your birthday?
November 23rd.
Oh, are you a Sag?
Yeah, I'm on the cusp.
You're on the cusp. Yes. We're also both Sagittariuses. Okay, great.
That's it. See?
We're really good at this game. This is our game.
Okay.
Quick fire is our game. Okay, so you get 1 minute. I'm going to ask you as many questions as I can, and we're going to see how many you get. And there's no time to explain. It's just the first answer that comes to mind.
I'm just nervous. Like, this is the most nervous I've been on this whole podcast. I hope I perform.
It's a nerve-wracking experience. Okay, you ready?
Yeah.
Favorite color?
White.
Favorite season?
As you can tell.
Yeah.
Oh, summer.
Favorite location?
A beach.
Would you rather go on a private jet or a private yacht?
A private yacht with my entire family and everyone I know.
Pizza or tacos?
Oh, I'm going to say tacos, but Patrick loves pizza and he's going to be so sad.
Tacos in California or tacos in Austin, Texas?
All flipping day long. And I mean, the taco connoisseurs of the world are going to be like, oh my gosh, it's so ugh. But Torchy's Tacos, it's where it's at. Agreed. I love Torchy's.
Agreed. You're going to a deserted island. You can bring three things. What are they?
Not humans, right? Like things. Okay.
Or sunscreen. Whatever you want.
Oh, I have to bring Patrick.
Yeah.
I bring Patrick. I bring sunscreen and I bring water.
Very practical. It's very so practical. You are getting on a plane and you can go anywhere in the world right now. Where are you going?
I'm going to Mancora, Peru. It's a little beach town. It's my favorite place in the entire world. Has been always. And we got engaged there because Patrick is, like I said, the best person in the world. So I go there and I stay until I die.
I love that. Yeah. You did good. That was good. You got a good
amount. It's over? I'm like sweating. Okay.
That was 1 minute. That's it. So before I let you go, plug yourself. If somebody wants to shop, where can they find you? All the things.
They can find me two places on Instagram. It's Where Talia. And you use the text button in our bio to order. You literally just press the button that says text. Your phone will auto-populate a text and you speak to a person. My favorite are the people that are like, red jacket, small. And the girls who answer, they're like, oh, we're humans back here. Hey, how are you? So just say, hey, I love the thing that Talia just posted, whatever. The cool thing that some people don't know is that I show new arrivals every day on stories, but they live, when they expire, they live in the highlights. So you can shop highlights all day long. Wait times are important. We are real humans that are answering the text messages, so it takes a little while for us to get back to you. You're doing it right. Just text once and wait on us. And if you live in California, we are located at Fashion Island in Newport Beach. We right now are right in front of Bloomingdale's, but in the next couple of weeks, we're going to be really close to Lulu and Tesla, which is like, I just can't believe that I'm saying like, oh, we're moving from our store by Bloomingdale's. By the way, I used to be in like the broom closet of like a kind of crappy mall. And now we are like neighbors with Tesla and Lulu. So
that's amazing.
So excited. Yeah.
That's amazing. I'm going to have to come down and see if you guys have like a launch or opening party or something.
We are. You'll see it on Instagram.
Great. I want to come. Listen, friend, I adore you. Thank you so much for sharing all of your wisdom and your story. It's just so important.
I'm so thankful. I'm honestly honored. And this was the best. I'm so thankful that you had me. I'm like, I think they got the wrong girl, but I'm still going to go.
No, we did not get the wrong girl. This was everything. I'm so, so obsessed. So have a good day and we will talk to you soon.
Okay. Bye.
Y'all, was I kidding? No, I was not kidding. Her episode, you guys, like, she's incredible. The way that she started her business, the way that her business has grown, the way that she continues to innovate and stay true to who she is. Oh, it's so freaking cool. I hope you enjoyed that as much as I did. She's incredible. Go shop her store. If you do shop her store, when you text in your order, obviously you can go find her. She told you, you can go to her Instagram, Wear Talia, WearTalia. If you hit the text to like, find something you want, hit the text button on the Instagram page. Tell them that On the Daily sent you. They're going to give you a little discount. I mean, hello. Go buy every cozy set. Tell me which one you got. But I love that episode. I love women in business. I love people that decide that they don't need to work for other people and start their own thing. And she is just the perfect shining example of that. So thank you, T, for coming on the show. I hope everybody out there, I hope you listening out there, you liked that as much as I did.
I have to tell you about my new favorite CBD company. Their name is Equilibria. They are women owned. They are POC owned and they are just dope freaking humans. These girls are changing the game, in my opinion, for what CBD is and can be. When you order from them, you get a dosing specialist, somebody to help you learn about CBD, and it's all hemp CBD, so you're not going to get high. There's no hallucinatory THC, nothing like that in it. It is all just for wellness. And when you meet with a dosing specialist, they teach you what you should be using CBD for, when you should be taking it, how much you should be taking, and then you can also get your questions answered. So if you do have any reservations around taking CBD, maybe you have other medications you're on or other illnesses and you want to know if, you know, it's going to mix well, they will answer all of your questions. They have nurses, they have geniuses, scientists, all the things working with them. And so I have really been loving getting to know them. Their product is amazing. Their product packaging is so beautiful. If you do want to check them out, go to Equilibria's website. Use my code Danielle on the Daily at checkout. You will get 15% off your order. And tell me what you think, because I'm obsessed.
As always, we are so freaking grateful for all of you who continue to show up every week and listen to this podcast. The traction that we've been building has like blown my mind to smithereens, and I'm just so grateful and I'm so in love with all of you. Keep sliding into my DMs. Tell me what you want to hear more of. You can find me at Danielle_onthedaily. You can find the podcast at On the Daily Pod. Talk to me. Tell me what you liked about this episode. Tell me what you bought from Talia's store. Like, tell me something. If you are loving what you hear, obviously subscribe to the podcast. We love Apple Podcasts on this as podcasters. Apple Podcasts is where we get most of our analytics. So if you have Apple Podcasts, make sure you subscribe, give us a rating, write a review for us, tell your friends about us. Obviously, we are available anywhere you listen to podcasts. So Apple, Spotify, Google, I mean, you name it, we're there. So you can literally listen to us anywhere, but continue to share it with your friends so we can get this out to more people. We will see you on Friday for a solo episode, and then obviously every Tuesday and Friday after that for interviews and solo episodes and all the things. Wherever you are, I hope you're having the day that you need. Have a beautiful day. Thank you so much.